Well, last Sunday evening, we had our first of our locating the verses we love, those favourite verses that we know well, that we love to have on cards and bookmarks and learn as memory verses. But sometimes we need to locate them. We need to understand them in light of their context. And last week we looked at Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good. And we put it in its context, and we talked about how it's hard at times to accept that verse if we don't understand the good that is mentioned there. And we located that verse that we love. We're going to do the same tonight. We're going to turn to another very well-known verse, a verse that I remember learning as a child, as a memory verse. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, and I'm sure you know it. It says, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." Again, it's a verse we'll have up on a fridge magnet. It's a verse we'll have on cards or on bookmarks. But the question is, do we know how to locate that verse? I'll be honest, for many years I located that verse wrongly. And I understood that verse wrongly. And I took it as referring to the future for a Christian. That it's about heaven, that we can't imagine what God has prepared for us in heaven. But I was locating that verse wrong. I was locating it wrong. And when we locate it in the light of the passage it's found in, it means something completely different. So I'm just going to read that passage now. I don't want you to be thinking about it and reading along if you have a Bible there or up on the screen. And I want you to be thinking, can you see the meaning here from the passage, particularly the verses before and the verses after verse 9? So let's locate this verse. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And let's read 1 Corinthians 2 verses 1 to 16. "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood in the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And we end our reading there at verse 16. Father, we just ask now as we turn to just explore this passage in Corinthians, we ask for your help, the help of your Holy Spirit to speak to us, to help us to understand your word and to be faithful to it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of my favorite films growing up was Back to the Future. Back to the Future. I'm sure many of you have seen it with the crazy professor in the DeLorean who they travel back in order to affect the future. So they go back in time when they're meant to be going forward, I think is the original, and they end up with Ghost Skewiff, and the main character ends up going to when his mother and father were young. They go back to the future, and going back in time affects the future. And when we turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, quite often we take it into the future, as I've said. But if we're going to understand that, we need to take it back and go into the past before we can understand the future. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." It's not talking about the things that are hidden in our future. It's talking about the things that were hidden in our past but have now been revealed to us. And the first thing I want us to look at briefly this evening, we're just spending a short time in this passage, but the first thing I want us to see is the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world. Because if we look at this passage as a whole, as Paul writes to this church, and he writes to the conflict in the church, and the elitism that was going on, and those that were trusting in worldly methods and worldly wisdom in the church, Paul teaches them clearly and says that the wisdom of this world is worth nothing. And right throughout these early chapters of 1 Corinthians, he holds the two up against each other, the wisdom of this world and the gospel, and how the wisdom of this world is worth nothing. Listen to chapter 1 and verses 19 to 20. "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" And of course, the world's wisdom, as it looks on in actual wisdom, God's wisdom, it sees the gospel as foolishness. That's what it says, doesn't it, in verse 18 of chapter 1, "For the word of the cross is folly, is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The wisdom of this world thinks the gospel is foolish. And yet Paul turns that around and says, that's not the case. In fact, it's the wisdom of this world that is foolish. And it is the power of God in the gospel that is really wisdom. And Paul, as he begins chapter 2, says to this church in Corinth, reminds them of the time that he came to them, and he said that he didn't come in worldly wisdom. He didn't come using the methods of the world and what the world values and how the world behaves. He didn't come strong and arrogant and proud. He came in fear and weakness, preaching the cross. And yet in his weakness, in the foolishness of the message of the cross, there was a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And why was there a demonstration? Verse 5, "So that their faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." God's power was demonstrated in Paul's weakness as he preached the folly of the gospel, so that this church wouldn't trust in the wisdom of man, but trust in the power of God. And as Paul unpacks this wisdom of the world and how it is not the way of the Christian church, he shows us that sinful human beings in their spiritual deadness cannot see true wisdom. They can only see the wisdom of this world. They cannot see the wisdom of God in the gospel and in Christ. This world, with all its intelligence, with all its advancement, with all its arrogance, has been blinded to the gospel. The gospel is foolishness to them. And it's played out time and time again in this passage. Look at verse 6. It says, "The wisdom, yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away." Verse 8, "None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness or folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. This is the condition of man, dead in sin, blinded to God, unable to see. And that's where we locate 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It's not describing a Christian's inability to grasp future glory in heaven. It's about an unbeliever's inability to grasp the gospel. And that's why we have to take verses 8 and 9 together. Listen to them together. It says, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. The rulers of this world cannot see it. They cannot see it. The eyes you haven't seen, the ears you haven't heard, the hearts that haven't imagined are those of the unconverted who cannot see the gospel by themselves. And in verse 9, Paul quotes mainly from a passage in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 64 and verse 4. And Isaiah 64 and verse 4 says this, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. But the whole context of that passage in verses 5 to 7 is this, you meet him joyfully who works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned in our sins, and in our sins we have been a long time. And shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquity. Those who are unconverted, those who are still in their sin, those who are still following the wisdom of this world, they cannot see the gospel. And they're described in verse 9. They cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. The wisdom of this world. But secondly, we see the wise who see. The wise who see. There was a craze in the 1990s, and it was called the Magic Eye. I don't know if any of you remember the Magic Eye. You used to have the annuals that used to come out every year, or the books, and the Magic Eye books were full of different pixelated pictures, and there was all these pixelated pictures, and they just didn't seem to show anything. They were just blurs. They were just of nothing. But the tagline of the Magic Eye was a new way of looking at the world. A new way of looking at the world. And these pixelated pictures and dots that didn't seem to have any pattern or shape, if you looked at them a certain way, or if your eyes looked at something a certain way, then it would come clear and a 3D image would jump out of the picture. And you used to see people and they'd be turning the picture round and round and they'd be straining their eyes and they'd be doing all sorts of gymnastics and looking at it upside down to try and see the image. And some of them would throw the book away and discard it because they could never see it. Others would look at it for ages and then almost exclaim with joy when they finally saw the image. The hidden picture was revealed. That's what Paul is saying here. In our sin, we're just staring at the dots. We cannot see. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We cannot see the gospel until God steps in and opens our eyes and we see. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But these things God has revealed to us through his Spirit. We can see. Verse 7, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. Verses 12 to 13, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those your spiritual. Verse 16, for who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's been hidden, but in the gospel it's been revealed. God has revealed it through the Holy Spirit, and he's opened our eyes to see. If you're in Christ this evening, your eye has seen, your ear has heard, your heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. You knew who you were. You knew and you realized when God spoke and opened your eyes that you were lost in your sin. You saw the holiness of God that condemned you. You saw how God in his love had sent his son who'd lived the perfect life and yet died condemned on a cross in your place for your sin and then rose gloriously to defeat death and hell. You've experienced the joy of his forgiveness, the removal of your guilt, the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, the beauty of his church, the present hope of him walking with you in this life and making you more and more like Christ every day, and the present hope that you have in your soul of the future glory that awaits you. You've seen, you've heard, you've imagined in your heart what God has prepared for those who love him. It's been revealed to you. You can see. You know what you have now, and you know what's coming in the future. And I suppose the challenge tonight is, are you living in light of that joy this evening? God's revealed it in his Spirit to us. It's a reality of faith every day. And yes, there is much about glory and heaven that we don't know yet. But we rejoice in what we do know. What our eyes see, what our ears have heard, what our hearts have imagined. What God has done in the gospel for those who love him. Maybe you're tuning in tonight and you're not a Christian. You haven't seen yet. Verse 9 sums up you. You haven't seen, you haven't heard, your heart hasn't imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And it's my prayer that God would speak to you tonight. Open your eyes, open your ears, open your heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you would come to turn away from the wisdom of this world and through the foolishness of the gospel to find light and life and hope for all eternity. If you want to find out more about that, please get in touch with us. We'd love to be able to talk to you more about that and get you a Bible, and we'd love to do that. Locating the verses we love. When I located this verse, it changed completely my understanding of it. We need to locate the verses we love. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths. God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that for those of us who are in Christ tonight, Lord, you've opened our eyes. Lord, you've turned us away from the foolishness of this world and you've brought us to wisdom himself, Jesus Christ. Father, help us to live in the light of that, to live in the present reality that we have in you. And may that affect every part of our lives every day. And may we look to the future glory that is sure for us and the hope that we have in you. And Lord, I do pray if there's anyone listening this evening who doesn't know you, Lord, open their eyes, speak through the power of your Spirit and awaken them and show them their need of Christ. May they stop being foolish, and may they find wisdom himself. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.